Good day, Internet.
Good day, Internet.
Hello. Good day, Internet.
That's all we have to say.
Anything personal at all.
No.
We were having a rollicking conversation about our personal financial situation.
Just so you know.
What's that?
We still have your screen.
Oh, okay. Yeah, nobody else can see it, but good to know before the show starts. Mm-hmm. We're not broadcasting.
So how was everyone's pleasant weekend?
Pretty good.
I was going to go to Evo, and then some work came up, and I felt kind of ill over the weekend, so I decided to stay. I really just wanted to get out of town for a weekend, so I got a media pass to go to Evo in Vegas, and I couldn't go. So yeah.
What is Evo?
It's a gaming competition. They like Smash tournament.
Oh, that got it. Cool.
Yeah. I just know it for Street Fighter.
Wait a minute, and at the same time, an AI beat real Dota 2 players. Coincidence?
I think not.
Yeah. Well, I was up in Ojai for a friend's wedding. Tom and Roger know
her.
How was the high? It was really hot.
Like triple digits?
Like triple digits, yeah.
Ohio? Ojai? Or?
Ojai, California. It's like 2 hours north of
Ohio. Okay. Oh, I thought, literally thought you went to Ohio. I was like, oh.
Yeah, okay.
It was really hot.
At one point, I like accosted someone at the local bakery, and I was like, "Is the high school here Ojai High?" And he's like, "No, it's not."
He's like, "Never heard that one before, man."
I was like, "Oh,
that'll be 5:52."
Right, I'm gonna be the first person to ever think of that. No, it was lovely. It was really nice to get out of town because it's not that far from LA. Even though there was some traffic, still, you know, just a little over 2 hours. And, you know, it's like being in Spain or something. You know, it feels like a world away. It was really, really nice. Anytime you guys want to get out of town, recommend it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Wait, and we stayed in a motel. Nothing fancy, but like really cute, comfortable. Everybody's friendly.
I'm fine with motels
plants
as
everywhere.
Long as it's clean.
It was really nice. The pool was nice. Everything was really nice.
Was it the Ritz-Carlton Motel? Because obviously I can't go to a regular motel.
No, it wasn't. It was the Ojai Rancho Inn, if you want to look
darling,
it up.
Darling, please,
it looks like every motel you've ever seen before. But no, it was a fun weekend. Too hot for me, but otherwise, great little escape.
Okay.
I did chores. I did a lot of chores.
Same here. Well, not cleaning. Cleaning happens today. And not by me. I always have to clean before the cleaners come. Like, it's weird. Like, so I'm
my
actually like
used
doing
to do
laundry.
That. You and my grandma are so much alike.
Yeah.
I am my house's cleaner.
Yeah. It's just I have to get my stuff out of the way so they can do their job. So like I'm in the middle of laundry and stuff like that.
But like my thing is, you know, I don't want someone in my house that I don't know on a regular basis. I'm fine with the gardener because he's only outside. And, you know,
yeah, but I mean, keep in mind that the cleaner doesn't want to be there any more than you want them there. You know, they just want to get their stuff done and leave. It's not like they're like, I want to be here.
Well,
and
but see, that's my Rogers point, though. Like, how can you clean if you already have that anxious, you have that like desire?
Well,
to...
you're just, you know,
you're efficient.
I'll clean. Give me a bottle of bleach, a scrub brush.
Well, see,
and a couple of...
I mean, I thought that too for 30 plus years, and I realized I'm not that good at this. So I need to just outsource something I'm not good at. I'm not good at deep cleaning. I'm not either.
I got good at it because my parents really just said.
Well, my parents got me on it too. I just like after 30 years of doing it, I was just like, enough's enough.
You get nagged enough by dad. No, you missed a spot. You gotta do it this way.
I'm good surface cleaning. My house is impeccable, but like the deep stuff, I just don't want to do it. So.
I do it's one reason I spray the shower with bleach, let it sit for an hour, rinse it off, and then scrub. With a brush.
Yeah, nobody got time for that.
I do that after every murder. What did I just say?
Ivory cleans up so nice. The only thing that I don't have a housekeeper now because I, you know, just one of those cost-saving measures, but I did in San Francisco for years, but I also always had a washer and dryer in my unit. I was lucky enough to have modern units that had that, but even then I'd always be like, the one thing not to do, don't wash any of my stuff. Because you're going to put something in the dryer that you didn't mean to, even if you try, and then I'm going to be mad. So just like, I'll handle the laundry. Now I'm like, if only I had somebody, like, I'll give you a million quarters.
Oh, wait, so you don't have, oh, you have to go to a laundromat?
No, no, there's laundry in my building, but it's not in my unit. So it's like, we have to, if somebody's using the washer dryer.
Oh, have you ever, I've lived have in places one of like that.
The wash and fold type of services? Or, I mean, like when you give it to a laundromat and they do it and like.
Yeah, but I can see.
Like a dollar something, a pound or something like that.
There's something about doing your laundry when you want to, and it's just a few steps away from where you're physically sitting.
Well, and it's, yeah, I mean, it's, to me, I've had all those situations. The worst is, of course, having to go to the laundromat, right?
But yeah,
then the in building laundry where you have to check, like, oh wait, somebody's using it. Like, I almost set up a net cam back in the day when I lived in that building when I worked at ZTV.
I probably should, because I can't tell unless I go downstairs. Like,
then,
I can't.
Then when you get it in your house, but it's in the garage, and you start like, oh, but I don't want to have to go outside into the garage. Like, Roger is totally right. Like, you want it within arm's reach, basically.
My laundry is literally in a room next to the kitchen. Like, it's like the buffer room between the outside.
And now he complains that he has to go to that room because he wants it to just follow him around like a drone whenever he needs
it. You know
him.
What? It's weird. I do laundry more infrequently now that the washer and dryer are super convenient, right? Like, I let it sit for 3 weeks and it'll go through all the clean clothes.
I'm the exact same
so
way.
Easy, yeah.
Yeah, so
I mean,
yeah,
my,
so
my, the only thing, I don't mind sharing a washer dryer with some other units, especially because it's like, I'm just one person. I mean, I'm not generating that much laundry, you know, as compared to like a family. However, going back to the whole doing your laundry thing again, it's like every once in a while, someone will move your stuff to the dryer because they're trying to get in the rotation, which is fine in theory, except that, you know, the other day, one of my neighbors, he did my sheets, but like there was like underwear in there.
Oh, he started it.
He started the dryer, so it wasn't an issue of him ruining clothes of mine. You know, normally I'd still be like, don't start anyone else's stuff in the dryer unless you know that it. But I was like, you had to touch my unmentionables. Yeah. I don't like that. No.
Well, and I always felt weird when I'd move somebody's stuff out of a washer in the apartment building, and as I'm moving it, I realize like, oh crap, there's underwear here.
Right. Like, you're not trying to be, you're trying to be nice. You know, and keep the whole system going. Yeah, but it's like that I'm like, I can't look at you for a
moment. When I patronized a particular laundromat before I had the convenience of a washer and dryer in the place where I lived, I would always see this one couple come in, and they always had a lot of stuff. But the husband or the gentleman would go in with like a spray bottle. He would clean out all the drums of the washing machine and the dryer before they stuck anything in it. And like a big roll of paper towels and a squirt bottle. Squirt, 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 clean, 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 squirt, 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 clean.
But it's clean because of the soap. It's already clean.
Well,
see?
I run.
I guess it doesn't hurt. That extra layer doesn't hurt.
No.
I run bleach through my washing machine every month, once a month, liquid bleach. Just like nothing in it, just to clean out.
I don't even own bleach.
Yeah, I used to use those.
I don't have any bleach, but I also don't buy white stuff because I always spill things.
Well, you don't kill as many people either.
I just want to kill any mold that grows.
Tom, that's the second one.
The few people I kill, they don't even.
No, it's fine.
I do it because this is the first front-loading washing machine I've ever owned, and they're notorious for mold buildup.
Oh, they're very much notorious for that.
Why? So, why does it matter?
It's because the way it sits, the way it drains, it's not the same way that if you have a top loader, it just like, you know, there's just a plug at the bottom and the water goes out.
Gets trapped.
So water gets trapped and sits. And especially in a hot area like LA, you build up a lot of humidity and then that's just mold growth.
Yeah, we always leave our washer door open to try to cut down on the mold.
Oh, yeah, I do that.
Have you all heard of the new fancy 15-minute wash cycle washers?
That sounds familiar, actually.
Okay, I visited some friends a few weeks ago up in Sonoma. They have a new house, and we were washing the bed sheets before we left because we were, you know, staying in the guest room. Right. You know, and I'm like, oh, we have like 45 minutes or something. And she was like, no, it's done. It's all done. Like, that was like 10 minutes ago. How could that be? They were like, you know, it's the new, like, you know, the power washers. It doesn't take that long anymore.
That's crazy.
Like, Wow, I didn't know.
That's great.
The washer dryer downstairs are like 45 years old.
My quick mode on my like front load, like I bought it 2 years ago. It's like 20 minutes, 20, 25 minutes. But that's not 10 minute fast. That's still like you got to wait.
I think it was 15, not 10, but it was still, I mean, remarkably faster than what you'd be used to if you were going to do a whole load of laundry.
Like you just can't do laundry and then watch TV for a while.
No, you're basically done.
Okay, and just I know we only have 2 minutes, but the whole I'm a guest. Let me strip the sheets down so you can wash. I think that is a kind thing to offer and do as a guest.
Yes.
As a host, when someone stays with me, if they start to do that or offer, I'm like, oh no, don't worry about it. I'm gonna wash all that stuff anyway. Like it's fine. I was staying at a place one time where it wasn't me, but another couple staying at this place. It was, you know, it was friends and relatives situation, not an Airbnb or anything. Didn't offer, and the host kind of came down on them, like, well, you need to strip your beds. And I was like,
oh, yeah, see, I wouldn't say that.
Like, come
even
on.
Even if I thought it, I wouldn't say that.
Hey, real quick, what I'm reading, what is it? Is it OpenAI or Open? Like, how do I pronounce
AI.
It? It's just OpenAI. Okay.
Yeah, like a compound, like OpenAI, like two words.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole stripping the bed, like if somebody wanted to do that who was staying with me, I would insist that they don't.
Yeah, I do. I
it's
do,
like, I just, I definitely it, do it's just, yeah, it's. Just
but it's nice
don't.
Of them to offer. I appreciate it. And I always try it to is. Do that as a guest myself.
Right.
Like,
I always,
oh,
right.
You know.
I always put the guests on the couch, so it doesn't matter.
Well, they still have, I give them a blanket, though.
Oh, yeah, here's a blanket. You don't need to strip it down.
Roger's like, here's a paper towel to put over you.
He puts a fan on them. You won't be staying with me next time.
Like, what's there to wash? They're just on the couch.
Yeah, you're on the couch. What are you going to watch? A cushion?
I just pour bleach over them, and it's fine.
30 minutes later, I come back to see how things are doing.
All right. Shall we begin some tech news, perhaps?
Oh, let's do it.
Hey, Lamar, would you mind opening the show with line 3?
Oh, yes, sir.
Here we go.
3, 2. Thanks to everyone who supports Daily Tech News Show directly. To find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support.
This is the Daily Tech News for Monday, August 6th, 2018. In Los Angeles, I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Feline, I'm Sarah Lane.
Also in Los Angeles, I'm Lamar Wilson.
And not quite, but really close to Los Angeles, Roger Chang, our producer. How are you?
I'm good. I am LA adjacent.
Yeah. You're county, wow. Right? You're still county, I think. We're all here.
Same county. Same county.
You're still one of the homeboys.
That's right.
We got you.
We're behind you, Roger. Don't worry. We've got a lot of interesting news today to talk about. Some AI, some removals, some rumors, and more. So let's start with a few tech things you should know.
Analytics company Mixpanel included Facebook's in-app browsing in its latest data report to see how Facebook's mobile browsing compared to Chrome, Safari, Opera, and other browsers. So, on average across all U.S. states, Safari claims 58.06% of all mobile browser market share, Chrome has 32.48%, and Facebook has 8.82%.
OpenAI 5 took on Dota 2 semi-pros again, and the humans finally won a match. The AI played Dota 2 against players ranked in the 99.95 percentile in the world. Against former Dota 2 professionals and casters Merlini, Fogged, Cap, and Blitz, OpenAI 5 won the first two games but lost the last one after the humans let the audience pick the team's 5 heroes. The OpenAI hopes to beat a team of top 2 Dota 2 pros at the International, which starts on August 20th.
Crowdsourced to beat the AI. Now we know how
we
can
survive.
Yeah,
that was smart. Yeah.
AMD announced the Ryzen Threadripper 2990WX, featuring 32 cores, 64 threads, and a 3 gigahertz base clock speed that can be boosted to 4.2 gigahertz for $1,799. That's $1,799, not $17.99. shipping August 13th. There were some specs leaked out about it, some internal AMD tests, benchmarks that leaked out about it show it's way more powerful than the equivalent Intel because it's got so many more cores. There's also the Ryzen Threadripper 2970WX coming in October with 24 cores and 48 threads for $1,299. Two other Ryzen Threadripper CPU releases were also announced, the 16-core 2950X and the 12-core 24-thread 2920X. That last one is the cheapest second-gen Ryzen Threadripper announced so far at $649.
I'll buy it.
I'll let you buy me one, too. Thanks.
Excellent.
Let's talk about MoviePass, because they haven't stopped making news all week.
They won't go away, Tom. What is going on? So MoviePass announced that it will not raise its prices after all. Oh, that sounds great. But its plan will stay at $10 a month, or I should say but here, but starting August 15th, it will have a limit of 3 movies a month with a $5 discount for movies beyond the first 3. Peak pricing and ticket stub verification are also going away. Now, MoviePass says 85% of its users see 3 or fewer movies a month. So obviously, I have mixed feelings on this. They changed it yet again. So just to add to this, if you are an annual customer like I am who paid right out, you'll be grandfathered in until yours goes away, but you still will have to deal with the peak pricing and ticket stub verification. So this is only for the new customers who are coming in or those who are on monthly. So
now, if you're on the year plan, you could cancel it and switch to this plan to get rid of that, I think.
They won't let, if you cancel your plan, you can't join again for 9 months.
You can't contact them and say, hey, shift me to the new plan. Because from the press release, it sounded like anybody who moves to this new plan, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I think rather than, I know the canceling thing, they won't let you sign back up to stop you from gaming the system. But if you said, I don't want to cancel, I just want to move to the new plan, I think they might let you do that.
I mean, that would be cool then. I mean, that would be less to deal with.
What would the incentive be for them to not let you come over unless you're getting a discount for buying an annual plan rather than a monthly plan?
Yeah, that's your, I mean, the thing is, you might not want to do that. You might be like, I'll deal with the stub verification stuff as long as I, you know, get the unlimited still.
Right.
Because you're giving that up if you move over. But yeah, I don't think it hurts MoviePass at all.
Yeah, so I had a, you know, again, mixed feelings about this. On one hand, I love what they did. They took, you know, VC money and gave it back to the customers, right? And so this was a great riot. At the same time, you know, I don't want to necessarily call it bait and switch. I mean, maybe they didn't anticipate this happening, but I can see how customers could be angered by this constant every week. There's some kind of change and decrease of service. Even if 85% of people watch 3 movies a month, I fall in that camp. It's the idea that you're taking away something that I know I can go unlimited if I wanted to. And I think that's where the uproar is right now. Well, what do you all think about this? Are you even MoviePass people?
I am not currently. To me, 3 movies for $10 a month is what, you know, $3.33 per movie. That sounds great. I'm never going to go to more than 3 movies in a month. In fact, I can't imagine any time I've even done that so far. I also feel like, well, okay, if I'm paying that $10 and those 3 movies are discounted and for whatever reason I need the 4th or even more, getting a discount, that sounds like a good deal to me. Of course, you know, it depends on how close you are to theaters and what you want to see and what's playing. But this does not sound like a bad deal to me, especially given, you know, all the drama that MoviePass has been through lately.
That's what Cinemia hopes you think too, when you compare Cinemia to MoviePass and realize, oh, the limited deal isn't so bad. And with Cinemia, I can do online ticket purchases at any theater and get IMAX in 3D. I mean, it's just now it's a much more competitive situation than MoviePass was just trying to like drive everyone else out with the unlimited thing, and they just couldn't sustain it.
Yeah, and lastly, MoviePass won't let you, they still will block new run movies. Like, there'll be a limited run of those.
Yeah, they were cagey about that. In the press release, they said some first run movies will be included, which means most of the first run movies will not be included.
Exactly.
Google has released Android 9 Pie. Oh, Tom, I know this was music to yours. Android P stands for Pi, everybody. And it's rolling out to Pixel phones first, which is not a surprise.
Pixel phones.
Delicious cherry Pixels. Pi includes an updated material design look, a new notification panel, reworked recent app screen, and support for gesture controls and devices with notches. Android's digital well-being features now go into beta for Android 9 Pi users. And Google says that devices that were part of the Android Pi beta program, that includes handsets from Sony, Xiaomi, HMD Global, Oppo, Vivo, OnePlus, Essential, will be qualifying Android One devices and should have the update by the end of autumn.
So it's all those brands plus some Android One devices will get it by the end of autumn. If you're not on that list, you should get it by the end of the year, Google says. They did some modularity in Android Oreo that makes it easier to update. So people doing the betas through carriers were noticing that they were getting the updates a lot faster, like the Essential phone beta came a lot faster.
So I have I don't use it, but I have a Pixel 2 just to have one. I'm interested to see when this will drop. Always nice, you know, playing around with the competition and looking at the cool stuff Google has. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's a big day for the Android community because it was sort of a surprise. Like nobody, usually these things leak out, right? And we've got like weeks and weeks of like, it's probably going to be August 6th. The rumors were all saying probably August 20th, probably end of August. So Google pulled a fast one here. I kind of like to see that where they're like, nope, we're just putting it out today. Although it's still the Android world, right? So it doesn't go to all phones at once. It goes to 100%. Certain phones. Now, Hate2R8 in our chat room says his Essential phone just got it. So I'll be leaving to run upstairs and see if my Essential phone also got it. Nice. But so it may be coming a little faster than people thought, which would be great.
Oh, cool. I'll check my phone today. Awesome.
Apple said Monday it had removed 5 of 6 podcasts from InfoWars host Alex Jones for violation of hate speech policies. All episodes were removed for all 5 shows. Facebook also removed 4 of Jones' pages for consistently uploading content in breach of its guidelines. Spotify completely removed the Alex Jones Show from its podcast service Monday as well for hateful content. And YouTube suspended the verified Alex Jones channel for violating community guidelines. No company attributed the removal to concerns over fake news. Now, we'll let you think what you want about Alex Jones and InfoWars. That's not what we're here to discuss. It is interesting to see all of this happen at once. As a result of public pressure, if you didn't realize that there had been public pressure to remove this person's channels and shows specifically for fake news, everyone's saying he's spreading lies, he's saying things that aren't true, he's fanning the flames of hatred, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. None of these companies want to get into the business of judging truth. Now, you may say, well, it's very obvious what's true and what's not. Yes and no. There are certain things that are on the outlier. Very clearly, 99% of us all agree that's not true. But it's when it comes to 50-50 that it becomes the issue. And these companies don't want to be involved. And you probably don't want them involved. Because while maybe one day they're removing something you think should be removed, the next day they'll remove something you don't think should be removed. And then you've got an issue. So I think that's why all 4 of these companies worked hard to find a reason, which I don't really like. If they should be removed, they should be removed, not because of public pressure, but to find a reason that wasn't based on the verity of the information being passed along.
Well, the interesting thing about Apple being the first of, you know, this sort of, you know, domino effect that happened this morning on Monday with various Alex Jones, you know, video and social channels, it was almost as if, you know, a lot of the companies were like, okay, Apple did it. Okay, now we, you know, we'll just sort of piggyback on Apple's explanation that it was a terms issue. Twitter didn't block Alex InfoWars channels from its network, though. So you kind of start thinking, well, okay, well, you know, were these companies talking to each other ahead of time? You know, is Apple taking one for the team here? Because all of these networks, there's no possible way anybody working in PR departments for these networks were just like, oh, wow, did Apple do something? We should investigate this person. Never heard of him before.
No. These decisions have been in the works for a while. Maybe companies decide to pull the trigger on the announcement a little faster because of Apple. That's certainly possible. But I imagine these announcements were close to happening no matter what. If anything, it was the public swell of pressure from certain elements of the public happened at the same time for all of these companies. So it does show that their internal processes are probably around the same because the timing ended up being close to the same. I don't think it's easy to point and say, oh no, they just imitated each other. And you could say that if you want. That's usually not the way it works. Anybody that's worked inside of a big company knows that you don't see big companies move that fast. They don't just hear about something and turn on a dime to do this sort of thing.
Certainly not.
They need 6 weeks of meetings of stakeholders before any of this stuff happens.
But even so, even if that was the case, even if Facebook had some internal, you know, debate going on in you know, high level talk somewhere, the fact that this all happened within what, 2 hours today, is, I don't know how it's telling.
I think
it
was a little
telling longer
than that, but yeah, sure. Let's call it all in the same morning. I mean, that's pretty close. Yeah.
Yeah. As far as the announcements go. Mm-hmm. The actual banning.
Yeah, because I saw the first one trickled in overnight, so early in the morning, East Coast here in the U.S., and then the YouTube announcement didn't come until later on in the late morning for us, early afternoon for the East Coast.
Yeah, I don't have any specific comments on this other than, you know, I agree with you saying, like, this could be a slippery slope, you know, regardless of where you stand on it, on whether a company should judge... You know how much they should judge something is, not okay based on public pressure. Mm-hmm. You know, if a public doesn't like something, and so I think we're all going through a big learning phase here, and I'm interested to see what comes out of it. I don't know where this is going. I don't know if the people could just scream loud enough and get anything taken out. If someone doesn't like your podcast anymore because there's another cooler one. Can they scream at YouTube to take it down? You know what I'm saying? Like, where does the line get drawn here? I don't have an opinion on it.
There's a whole other discussion to be had about the similarity between this and what happened to James Gunn getting fired at Disney. Both were in response to public pressure.
Yeah, absolutely. So Microsoft briefly hosted a page announcing it had joined Movies Anywhere. Yes. This would mean movies from participating studios could be bought on the Microsoft Store and viewed on other platforms and vice versa. Now, iTunes, Amazon Prime Video, Google Play, Vudu, and Fandango Now are the current partners, and movies from Disney, Sony, 20th Century Fox, Universal, and Warner Brothers are included. No word on why Microsoft pulled down the announcement. And yeah, maybe they just weren't ready to... Do you have any info on that? Maybe they weren't ready to,
no,
to say it.
The Verge and Therat.com both reported this morning with links and screenshots. I mean, Therat still has a screenshot of the Microsoft page saying, your movies together at last.
Yeah, I saw that.
Watch more with Microsoft Movies and TV. But when you click through to the Microsoft page that's supposed to tell you about this new deal, it says, we're sorry, the page you requested cannot be found. We should be sitting here talking about, like, oh, Movies Anywhere starting to expand. It'll be great when some more studios come in, too. If I've got an Xbox, now I can watch all my Movies Anywhere stuff. If I want to buy something on my Xbox or through the Windows Store, I can still watch it in iTunes. I can still watch it in the Google Play Store. And that, hopefully, is what's going to happen because they had this announcement prepared. But
I kind of wanted to say all of that.
Yeah, right? I mean, because do you use your Xbox to watch movies?
Well, yeah, and I stopped because they pulled out of that when it was called Disney Anywhere. I know it was more limited then, but the Microsoft pulled out of it.
Yeah,
and so I don't use it anymore. So, but I use my Xbox to watch almost everything: YouTube, Twitch, and so it's kind of like my media hub besides my Apple TV. So, I'm definitely looking forward to this. Disappointment only in that Lionsgate and Paramount, which I get movies from just through press things, they aren't included in this, but hopefully with more people being added, more studios will be added. I think this is a fantastic deal. I mean, you use Fandango, private disclosure.
Hey, that's my disclosure, there. Lamar. Let me make it. But yes, my wife works for Rotten Tomatoes and Fandango, so we use Fandango now, of course.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I love the service.
A page being taken down could have been, oh, you know, one of the partners, you know, we hadn't signed on the dotted line with them. And, you know, we just have to, you know, take it away briefly. One would think that if something drastic had changed with this announcement, The Rot and certainly The Verge and anybody else, you know, who has good connections at Microsoft would know. I also wonder, just assuming maybe something was posted prematurely.
Yeah.
That sure happens a lot in corporate websites, doesn't it?
Yeah. Somebody needs to work on their CMS a little bit.
Right. Yeah. Like I know the New York Times writes its obituaries years in advance, for big name folks, but it's like, can't we have some sort of a staging server that's just like one step removed?
It takes a couple of clicks before it gets published. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right, moving on. Chip maker TSMC, which makes parts for the iPhone, said that 80% of its fabrication tools were affected by a virus last Friday. The company has since restored the tools and expects a full recovery. A mistake during software installation for a new tool led to the virus spreading through TSMC's network. The company advised the breach will delay some shipments and reduce revenue by about 3% for the quarter.
Pretty sure Apple's chips won't be delayed. You know, it said it wasn't sure which ones. You better believe they're going to prioritize the biggest customer they have to make sure those get out in time.
There's a lot of Sturm und Drang out there about what this could mean for Apple. I mean, first of all, TSMC really turned this around faster than a lot of people thought when it first started to break. They thought, this could cause some serious problems. 3% revenue impact is not small in a company this size, but the fact that they are back to production on Monday is good. When you have the CEO of your company as the former supply chain expert, and Tim Cook, you have a lot of practices that are employed to make sure that these sorts of things don't impact your shipping. So I'm with you, Lamar. My guess is either through TSMC prioritizing their biggest customer that makes up the majority of their revenue, or through Apple just having really good contingency plans for this sort of thing, this shouldn't impact the shipping of the iPhone. But you bet if something, I mean, Apple hasn't announced a new iPhone. Apple hasn't announced a bunch of new products. But if those rumored products slip or don't get announced, you know a lot of people are going to start looking at this as a possible cause.
Yeah, you're right.
And it's probably not. But it will impact something. Something down the road is going to slip because of this. It's just probably
TSMC's that, bottom line impacted.
Yeah, no, exactly.
3% is a lot for the company. Yeah.
They think they'll make it up in the holiday quarter by ramping up production and sort of catching up. That is what they're trying to tell their investors. So if you believe that, then you should be fine.
Sure.
Wall Street Journal reports Facebook is asking banks to share customers' card transactions, shopping habits, and checking account balances to offer new financial services.
What?
If I want to stop there, you're going to scream. Cambridge Analytica, privacy violations. Now they want my bank data? Facebook says they're not doing that. Facebook says, we're actively asking financial services companies for financial transaction data. They're talking to banks about offering services through Messenger, like checking account balances or offering fraud alerts. They don't want to record your financial information. What they want to do is what they already do with PayPal and Citi in Singapore and American Express in the United States, which is allow you to go to Facebook Messenger and say, hey, what's my balance? And allow that company to tell you your balance, which means your data has to pass through a Facebook server to do that. That's what Facebook says. Now, granted, I don't trust Facebook much either. So I don't know. Maybe they're doing some secret weird conspiracy thing to steal all your financial data. But my guess is not in the current climate. And the only way to provision this kind of service is to transfer the financial data you're requesting through Facebook Messenger onto a Facebook server so it can get to you on Messenger. But in this day and age, you say financial data and Facebook, and people immediately jump to a lot of conclusions about risk, and Facebook has to work harder than other companies to prove, and even harder than it had to do when it first launched these services with PayPal and Citi and American Express, to reassure you, this is what we're doing with that information. We are not going to sell it to third parties. We're not going to target it through advertisements. This is all we'll do with it. And they should. I'm glad of that.
So my question with this, and just being dead honest here, is like, who's living in Messenger this much to need to get your balance and things from Messenger? Like, I use iMessage, right? But I don't want to go in there and find out what my balance. I mean, if I need to send something through Apple Pay, fine. But like, I have the bank app. I have the web. Maybe I'm not the customer. I'm just wondering who are these people that live in Messenger? Like, this to want this.
I get what you're saying. And a lot of people in the chat room are echoing you right now. They're like, right on, Lamar Wilson. Exactly. But it does sound a little to me like my grandpa saying, well, why would you want to phone up the bank to get your ballots? You're just going to go cash your checks there later. Ask them then. Why do you need to use the phone for that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm party, though. I agree. I've never once even thought of figuring out if one of my banks could tell me my balance, one of my many banks, you know, because I have so many, but you know, my bank could tell me my balance through Facebook Messenger. Never occurred to me. Wouldn't want to do it for, you know, lots of reasons that, you know, people are like, eh, why go through Facebook though? It's rife with issues, or potentially rife with issues. But at the same time, it's like, okay, well, Facebook is looking for things like account balance to be able to flag down something, you know, that a bank would see as fraud. Obviously, I want to know that, you know, as soon as possible through the proper channels. What if I am using Facebook Messenger for this? I could consider that, you know, that's a really good feature. It's also, there's, you know, the idea that when somebody calls me up to, you know, to offer me like a great low interest, you know, crappy, you know, loan, you know, that's like, you know, predatory. It's like, well, it's probably because my credit card balance is a little higher this month. And, you know, there's information being shared. So a lot of this is a little bit like Facebook is not reinventing some, you know, banking wheel here that we should all be freaked out about. I think Lamar's point of, is Facebook the way that you're finding out this information and checking in with your financial institution, that's really the issue that, I mean, a lot of people seem to be having.
Every WeChat user in China is laughing at this conversation. Like, you poor backwards Americans, not using a messaging service to do everything. It makes life so much simpler. What is wrong with you? Because this is the way a large part of the world works. Large swaths of the world use messaging apps to do all of their financial transactions. So what Facebook's trying to do is get a little piece of that action, because they know that's the coming wave. And if old fuddy-duddies like us don't use it, I don't think they care.
What's the name of that Google Messenger? Allo. Didn't they have something? It wasn't financial, but they were trying to do that. Put an assistant in there. And
oh, yeah.
And,
no, they put Google Assistant.
And which is weird.
Everybody's like, doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess you're right. It is definitely cultural, maybe, or just
it's locations. For the three of us having this conversation right now, I feel like it's the first year of Twitter. And we're those people going, why would you use Twitter? Why would you use Facebook?
Well, and you know, the idea that WeChat has integrated so many services within a network and that it's working really well for a huge population of folks. You know, I wish Facebook Messenger did work that well. It doesn't necessarily, you know, it's not Facebook specifically, but I wish we had something. When I say we, I mean, you know, I'm talking regional US, but I wish I could consolidate everything if it made my life easier. But that's just not, especially when it comes to financial institutions.
A little bit of a chicken and egg thing, right?
Yeah, like
exactly. They need to roll out this stuff without people freaking out, to be able to have all of the things that you're like, oh yeah, now I use messaging apps for that sort of thing.
Roll out.
Hey folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com.
Hey, and if you want to participate in our subreddit, which is very helpful, helps us know what stories you'd like us to talk about, submit some or vote on others. DailyTechNewsShow.reddit.com. If you want to hang out on Facebook, great. Facebook.com/groups/DailyTechNewsShow. We will not share your financial information, whether you're having a good or a bad month. But we will share Chris Christensen's thing of the day. He's back to talk about robots at the airport.
This is Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler with another Tech in Travel Minute. I've got a robot story, and this is an interesting one. KLM has introduced a robot in airports where you go up to this small blue robot and you give it your boarding pass. It scans your boarding pass and then will carry your luggage, up to 85 pounds of luggage, to your gate. It will know where your gate is, will navigate its way there, and will move at about 3 miles per hour so that you can walk alongside it. It's currently being tested, but they plan to roll it out at JFK and SFO here in 2018. One of the odd things in the story I read was that it uses, quote, a variety of familiar nonverbal sounds to interact with travelers. Oh my gosh, it's R2-D2. I'm Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler.
Oh my God. Why would you do that? Why would you want a robot to carry your luggage?
Why wouldn't you?
Hello. Like, why wouldn't you want to get Facebook? Okay, I get the point.
No, I'm just everybody wants R2-D2 to carry their luggage, of course. I mean, that goes without saying.
I mean, the only thing I could see this sounds great, even though, you know, maybe you don't have really heavy luggage, but let's just say you did. It would be really helpful. You know, if you have kids and it just sort of takes a layer off of the complexity of getting to your gate. But we've all been at a really busy terminal. And, like, if there are many robots doing this for folks, okay, well, that's sort of adding some bulk to the walking area. And also, how do the robots talk to each other? And are you going to lose your luggage?
They use Facebook.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
They're messaging each other. All right, let's check the mailbag. What did we get at feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com?
We got a really cool email from Joseph in Chicago, who wrote in about our conversation last week about Google Glass being used to help autistic folks. Joseph says, I was diagnosed with autism later in life, despite being highly functioning, after I had a life-altering mental health issue a little over a year ago, and I lost my job. The rare late-in-life diagnosis explained the reason why I had problems with certain social norms, as well as relationships, whether it was with strangers or platonic or familial or even romantic. Having this technology could save a lot of pain for those with autism and their families and neurotypicals around them by helping them progressively improve various skills in these four areas of life and allow those on the spectrum to live more fulfilling lives. So that applies to dating, or friendship, or legal issues, or even school and school systems, how to interact with a fellow student versus a teacher versus a dean or somebody else in the administration, because obviously there are levels to that. Appropriate vernacular and chain of command when trying to get an exception.
Oh my gosh.
Joseph says, these are just some thoughts I had when I looked up the article and what I hope they could do in the future, not just for kids, but for those with autism of all ages and of all degrees.
Yeah, and get over your thought of like, yeah, why would I want Google Glass on my face for that? Like, imagine a different form factor, something that's just in regular old glasses or something like that. Mm-hmm. And just imagine the functionality. And I think that's great. Thank you, Joseph, for that.
Yeah, thank you so much, Joseph. I learned a lot from your email. So keep them coming, everybody. Thanks to Lamar Wilson as well. Lamar, you are a wealth of information. You're a scholar and an all-around great human. Oh. What has been going on since we saw you last?
I see I paid you well through Facebook. Okay, that was the last one. That really was it.
Hold on. I never got the money.
Be cool.
Exactly. Be cool. So, yeah, I run an unboxing and showcasing channel. And this month in August, we're trying to do a video a day. Just released one, which is not showing up on your page. That's okay. Just released one today and 2 minutes ago. And, yeah, if you're into, like, seeing cool things, whether it's technology, Funko, or any kind of just randomly cool stuff, check out my channel at youtube.com/Lamar Wilson.
You never know what's inside the box till Lamar opens
never.
It.
What's
That's
in the
right.
box?
So right. cool.
It's not that, hopefully.
Check it out,
no,
folks. youtube.com/Lamar Wilson. Two R's in Lamar. And thank you for supporting us on Patreon. Patreon.com/DTNS is the place to get all of the cool perks of being a member. Membership has its privileges, like being able to talk in the Discord or chat in Slack with other folks. Also, talk to me about my trip to St. Louis, perhaps. Anybody can do that. Doesn't matter if you're Patreon or not. I'm coming to St. Louis September 6th and 7th, I think. Something like that. It's Thursday and Friday. And I'm looking for a place with good broadband. Big thanks to a few folks who have reached out. I think I've got Thursday taken care of, which is awesome. I'm working on Friday. And once I get locations to do DTNS remote, I will start working on doing a meetup out there in the St. Louis area as well. Ooh. So if you have any suggestions, particularly on the Illinois side of the river for that Friday at the beginning of September, man, I wish we had put the dates in here because I want to emphasize that. I think it is September 7th. Yeah. September 7th on the Illinois side of the river. If you know a place that would be available around, I don't know, 3:30 in the afternoon that I could squat and do my show, that would be awesome. Send it to us, feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com.
You know what you can also do to that email address is send us your thoughts, your comments, stuff that we've talked about, stuff you'd like us to talk about, and anything in between. Feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com is our email address. We are also live. If you can join us Monday through Friday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC. Find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
Back tomorrow with Patrick Beja. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
A show that defied all expectations. In other words, everything Roger and I thought would go short went long, and everything we thought would go long went short. But yeah.
It's
It worked. It worked.
Yeah, it all worked out in the end. It worked. Yeah, it
was great. There was a moment where I was like, okay, yeah, our timing is not. I mean,
yeah, we're usually really good at that. So we got to have a day like that every once in a while. But like you said,
well, we were over a minute and a half.
Nothing.
It's yeah, fine. And oh, breaking news! People can join your Patreon using Facebook Messenger.
No, part of it
is that true or no?
No,
I'm like, there are a lot that of would ways. Be, I wouldn't be surprised, cool. Actually.
No, man, I think of all, you know, the messaging culture is entirely different here than it is in not all
it
parts
really
of the world,
is.
But in a lot of parts of the world. Yeah.
I try to think young. So I'm not trying to be that Generation X that don't get it.
You like need to young and Japanese.
You know, okay. I think part of it is that there hasn't been any kind of the flaws inherent in that system haven't been revealed to a broad base of users, so they don't have a context of fear in the way we might. Like,
I don't know if that's it. Fear doesn't seem to keep people in the U.S. from doing a lot of things they shouldn't. I don't know.
I mean, think it's just that there's less of that sort of chatbot culture, at least with you know, a lot of services I'm using, where it's like, when it comes to convenience, again, as long as I trust the company whose app I'm using, and you know, that's going to differ between folks, but there's nothing wrong with that in theory to me, because I'm always trying to simplify things. I don't see Facebook Messenger as that. Oh yeah, that's where I can, you know, talk to lots of companies and get information and you know, and make dinner reservations and send Lamar money that I owe him. It's like, that's just not the network that I've become accustomed to using for any of that stuff.
I think it has to do with the different ways SMS was implemented.
Yes.
And SMS was not something unlimited in a lot of the places where messaging has caught on very fast, because people immediately gave up on SMS. So like, well, I have to think about how many I have left there. Whereas in the US, it sort of became unlimited right at that time that messaging apps were taking off. And people were like, oh, well, I'll just use SMS for that.
True.
I feel like a service, well, what Facebook's trying to do, in my opinion, from someone who grew up in the 90s, really embraced the internet. Remember, you know, how AOL had the silo, right? Mm. You logged into AOL, and then the internet, I mean, was this.
There was a separate internet
place.
Button.
Yeah. There's this place you had to chat. And Facebook is continually trying to be that silo, and they just don't have the infrastructure to do that. Like, they don't, like, yeah, they have a mobile browser, I guess, but like, no one's logging into Facebook.
They don't have that mindset.
They don't have the components, I don't think, for what AOL did was like, you felt like you were on AOL happening to be using the internet. It was just a different feeling.
Well, AOL was very unique because it was a online, you know, service in the way that Genie and CompuServe were, because before the internet was widely available to the public, you just went to a large, you know, online conglomeration, whether it was a well or whatever, and you just dialed in.
Yeah, and you had everything. Yeah, they had everything right there.
I remember
it was
Prodigy.
An ISP and a content service, and Facebook is just a content service. But I think Facebook is pretty close to being pretty silo-y. I mean, the fact that it's got 10% of the mobile browsing market right now, I wonder if AOL ever had 10% of the browsing market, even at its height.
Oh, I think it probably
had 100%. Really?
No. The population was very small on the internet back then, and most people getting on the internet.
Okay,
were,
I mean 10% of the people. I mean, they had 90% of the people who were there, though.
No,
I don't mean like,
because most of the people getting on the internet were geeks who were like, I want to get on this internet. AOL was able to get a few other people on there. I'd be curious though. Maybe I wonder.
I'd be really surprised if it was less than 10%.
Find
I would
us
think more like 50.
A ISP access market share from 1998. Someone, please. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking maybe by 98 the browsers were coming online, so people were like using Internet Explorer. But I think at the time when there was like
no
knowledge of browser,
people were using the AOL browser, so you could do a browser market share from 1998, and that would tell you this.
You know, it's funny. I remember, speaking of browsers, it's like because my mom was a little ahead of the curve when it came to modems and getting online, and we had like I don't know Netscape Navigator or whatever it was, way back in the day. And there were a couple of friends, who'd come over to my house because I still lived with my, I was still a kid at the time. You know, they'd be like, "Well, but how are you doing that without America Online?" Because that's how America gets online.
Exactly.
Where I was like, well, okay, this is an interesting conversation. Let me, it was one of the first memories where I'm like, let me explain why you think that's the way you have to get online, but it's actually just one method.
Part of it is at that time, there was still low understanding of what the internet was, right?
Exactly.
Everyone assumed it was just a service that was part of an online bulletin board system like AOL or GE.
Right,
A lot of things like banking. I remember Bank of America was trying to do, or was either Bank of America or Wells Fargo, was trying to do online banking through Prodigy. Remember Prodigy?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And that was one of the things.
I remember the logo and everything.
Yeah, this really, like, really 8-bit interface, and you had to click down and go in. And you'd type in your account information to verify that it was your account. But, it wasn't until... until people started seeing things like you can learn more online. Remember commercials? They would have whatever product, you could learn more online, and they would give you a URL, and people's like, what the hell is that? I'm missing out on something because all these commercials are telling me I'm missing out on something because I'm obviously not seeing it because I can't go there. So I need to get this AOL disk or whatever to log in.
Sure.
I mean, it works. AOL is not listed in any of the browser market shares. It's all Internet Explorer and Netscape Navigator.
The
only thing I can find is AOL buying Netscape in 1998. And it had it's listed in the CNN article as having a 60% ISP market share in the US.
Okay.
But a lot of people who used AOL didn't use AOL. Yeah, would go and use the actual internet.
Yeah.
So that doesn't tell you what slice of the 60% is doing that.
Let me ask you this question. R2-D2 carry my luggage? Android is Pi? Movie passing the buck.
I would do probably something Pi.
Yeah, that's a good call.
It's
Android Pi is not a lie, or as Android is Pi?
As Android is Pi. I like that.
I like that.
I will go buy some.
It's as Android as Pi.
There was a very good. Are you all familiar with the concept of the hand pie?
Yes, that's what hostesses were.
Exactly, it's a small pie that you can put in your hand.
The most famous being the hostess, like Roger said.
Right, or a home run,
or the McDonald's.
More that.
Low carb over here. Can y'all stop, please?
Sorry. Hey, Lamar.
Blame Android.
Shut your ears for the next minute.
There was a delicious peach hand pie at a coffee shop in Ojai that we went to yesterday called Beacon Coffee. Just an adorable little place.
It was an Ojai pie.
It was not called an Ojai pie, although it should have been.
But by definition, it must have been.
Yeah. Right. But it was like one of these things where this older gentleman, because in small towns, people are so friendly and they just want to talk to you like, hey, we know you're not from here. What's your story?
Where are you from?
And he came up and he was like, do you like that hand pie? Oh, it's the best. And we were like, sure do. Let's talk about some peach pie.
Sure are chatty for a stranger. What's your story?
Yeah.
That's what I used to do.
Well, but it's I don't know. It's so funny. It's like I really am becoming an old person in a certain way because the entire weekend I was like, this is like home. It just reminds me of home. Even though when I was a kid living in a small town, I was like, can't wait to get out of here. I hate knowing everybody.
When you're a kid and you know everyone in town, everyone knows your parents. So if you do something wrong, it's going to get back to them pretty
quick. And you've heard that there's a big world out there, right? So, I mean, not everybody is looking to escape, but I think a lot of kids are like, I want to know the big world. I'm missing out on all the other stuff. Now I'm like, let's just all start painting. and go live in the desert.
We always
I don't live in a desert.
Not in Ojai, but
chandeliers and like sell
Paso Robles. We always stop in Paso Robles.
Yeah, when jewelry, you know, jewelry. And not too far, like same kind of Central California, mm-hmm. but near the coast. You know, idea, I think.
Oh, you don't want to do the New Mexican desert? I'm going to be surrounded by
I've
like...
I've actually never been to New Mexico, so I don't even really have an opinion about it, but I'm
there
sure
there is not
it's
enough
really
water
lovely.
There for me.
Mm, yeah.
It seems dangerous.
A friend of mine who works in media as well, she worked in local news in Albuquerque for like 4 years, and she was always like, Santa Fe is the better city, but Albuquerque actually has sort of more going on. She really liked it.
Hmm. Yeah, I always enjoy myself in New Mexico, but for moving there, I get weirded out by the climate.
Yeah. By being landlocked.
Well, I've been landlocked before, but just not a lot of natural water around you. I guess up in the mountains there is, so maybe I'm talking
about... Not a lot of natural water down in Southern California.
Yeah, I know. As opposed to the, you know, the waterfalls.
The water-rich paradise in which we live.
These lush golf courses are amazing.
Well, we have that big ocean. It makes me feel better. I know I can't drink it, but at least it's there. I can see it.
I look at the ocean all the time where I'm like, we're good. Look at all that water.
We'll figure out how to get the salt out of it.
I used to wonder, why can't they use salt water in like your toilet and stuff and save all the drinking water for everything else,
well,
right? So like,
but I mean, it doesn't have to be salt water, right?
Isn't that the problem?
A lot of countries think we're crazy that we use the same water for sewage and drinking water. Because they're like, you should have non-potable water. You can just reuse it and reuse it and reuse it. And so there's a lot of research being done in that.
Yeah, a lot of car wash places do. They use
non-potable water. Yeah, I've seen that. This is not potable water. Don't drink it.
Washing my car about once a year.
I wouldn't call anybody out, but not that long ago, intelligent adult friend of mine was like, I don't remember where we were, but she was like, non-potable water, what's that? And I'm like, don't drink it. Like, oh, is that what that means?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's what it means.
Yeah, I didn't know until I moved here.
It's a big concept, yeah.
I've never seen it before, yeah.
Yeah. It's,
yeah. We had non-potable water in a few places.
Salt water in our toilets. You'd never drink water out of the toilet. You'd never need that water.
No,
well,
but
you know, as long
stuff,
as you
like
use non-metal pipes like clay or something, it should be fine. With the
not everybody has clay pipes.
Yeah, like who's using clay pipes?
Why don't we just go back and take dumps?
I think it makes more sense to just use to.
Let's start over. All right.
That you don't have to make everybody get new pipes for it.
Hey, we have a permanent power outage. What was that show on NBC Revolution or something where they lost the power and then everybody had to go back to.
I watched that for a while.
It was good.
Power just disappeared.
Yeah, yeah. It was pretty interesting. That'd be kind of scary. Because we had a power outage in my neighborhood last week, and it was several hours, and people were kind of...
I'm more worried about running out of potable water than I am about power loss, because power you could generate on a local scale. Not a lot of it, but enough to keep emergency things running. But like, if you don't have clean drinking water, you're kind of up the creek without any.
Ah, that's what Kool-Aid's for. Anyway.
But how do you drink Kool-Aid without water?
You've been drinking the Kool-Aid.
It's in the fridge already.
It's already made.
Wake up, sheeple.
Just find the giant walking. Yeah.
This whole water thing. It's like lots of things have water.
No, there's some really good research, all kidding aside, really good research being done on how to reuse water. Not only for non-potable stuff like sewage and toilets, but also for drinking water. Being able to repurify it, take it out. I mean, it creeps people out. That's the biggest hurdle that they're trying to get over with this research is they're like, yeah, but it was in a sewer. They're like, yes, but all our water comes from the sky and has been everywhere. Like, you have to purify it anyway. So there are special things you have to do to repurify water, but you can do it. And it's not as inefficient as you might think.
Israel is actually one of the leading countries because they live in a desert. And so they have a very strict regimen about how water use is managed. But they have a lot of recycling and regeneration of water. Plus, contrary to popular belief, it isn't people that use up the most of the water. It's agriculture. At least in California, it's like 80% of the usage.
Right.
So if they can find more efficient ways to irrigate crops. I mean, when I was growing up in high school, they used to flood like an orchard. They would just turn on the tap and it would just run water until it was like 2 inches deep. And that's how you irrigated the orchard.
That's
like
the way we need to get back to.
you need a more.
When I was a kid.
I don't remember the apple orchard that I was on the edge of being under that much water, but it was like, no, somebody was not manually like watering the, I mean, it was like 100 acres. Like it was all built in, whether it was high noon or, you know, it's kind of, you know, running your sprinkler.
That's how we watered the lawn in my high school.
The
janitor would come by, open a tap and flood like a big section of lawn and it'd be underwater. And then and this is like, you know, 2 p.m. in the afternoon. The water's evaporating. So it's just like, yeah, that's just like the weirdest thing.
Well, we're going to evaporate from the video as well. But yes. Thanks for joining us, video folks. Stick around, audio folks. There's more water talk to come.
Desalination.
The water wars.
Which has its own problems. Desalination.
Desalination is, I mean, it's like one of the things that we haven't, I mean, there's...
Well, we haven't tried, but it's energy intensive. You need a lot of power to run desalinization. Two, what do you do with the salt? You don't want to dump it back into the water because you just make it in the ocean. You make it saltier.
That's where lorries, you need to invest in lorries.
That's exactly where I was going to go with that.
Can't you just put it in a little container and sell it to somebody and be like, salt.
Exactly.
Sea salt. People do that already.
There are lots of plans about what to do with the minerals that you recover from desalinization.
Right.
You don't have to throw them back in the ocean.
That's what I'm saying. You don't. But like, where do you put it? Eventually, you're going to reuse it.
There's a lot of research being done on that too. Which the biggest problem with desalinization is not where to put the salt. It's how do we make it worth the expense?
Right.
Because it's really costly to do right now.
Well, it's an energy intensive process.
Yeah.
And we can figure out a way to do that. I mean, we got this big yellow thing in the sky called the sun, and we're worried
it's
about
actually
the sun.
White, hot.
I'm the calling orange. It yellow, but I'm just saying why can't something like that run solar? Where our technology, we advanced so far, we can send people up in space, but we can't figure out solar power
because we need to find a way to turn solar power into replace chemical energy.
I get it. Yeah, I just
like you can't build an electric rocket motor. I mean, you technically can build a nuclear powered one, but you would still need a propellant, and then you would have the whole issue of what happens to the rocket if it accident, and then you get radioactivity spread through the atmosphere.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm a person who I would prefer to drink a nice filtered water, but in a pinch, drinking out of the tap.
Out of the tap through a filter.
Well,
is really good.
Here's a great example. So I'm in this motel over the weekend. Nice place. I mean, I didn't have any reason to think anything was wrong with the water, but the water that they put in your room is for sale. So it was like, oh, we had gone to a market earlier and we got some waters. And then just over the course of the weekend, it was really hot outside. You know, we drank them. And, you know, two nights ago, you know, we come back from a wedding and I'm really thirsty and there's no water. It's like, I'm drinking out of the tap. I'm not just going to not drink water. But, you know, my friend was like, ooh, probably not trustworthy. I'm like,
you know what? To me, that is the worst thing.
I'd rather have bad water than no water.
Consumer society was bottled water, plastic bottled water.
Well, the waste of plastic, But
the
water in the tap is perfectly drinkable.
Yeah.
In almost all locations. Yes, you have your Flint, Michigans. It's very rare.
Sure.
And if there is a problem with your local municipality's drinking water, it's the kind of thing that builds up over years of drinking it. So that's why maybe you want to use a Brita filter or something like that to reduce that sort of thing.
Sure.
But, I mean, if you're staying in a hotel and you drink some water out of the tap once, that's not in my opinion, that's not a cause for like, oh, I don't know if you want to do that. Like,
and even in my own house, sometimes I'm like, oh, almost chlorinated a little bit tasting, which I prefer to filter that out.
It doesn't have a lot of things in it that die because of the chlorine. Yeah,
but I'm not worried about it.
You know what's weird?
There's a taste issue with it. I won't deny that.
Even then, I'm like, you know, I'm thirsty. It's fine. We'll deal.
This past 2 months, the water here, at least where I live out in L.A. County, has had sort of an algae smell to it. Didn't taste bad. It just had it. But I noticed over the past 3 weeks, it's totally shifted. Like they either filtered it out or something because the water is super soft.
We went in Greenville when I was growing up, we had a pond smell, they called it, but it's kind of the same thing you're describing, Roger, in the water. And nobody could figure out why. All the tests showed it was fine. There was nothing wrong with the water. It just carried a little odor. And so, you know, people started using filters. Some people did. My dad installed one of the, it wasn't a Brita, but it was, you know, early version of that same thing to get rid of that smell, whatever it was, but it never harmed anyone. It just was not very pleasant.
Yeah, you like will not live to 100, but instead live to 98 because drinking that water.
At one point when we lived on a well, the entire well just like went rusty. Where like the water coming out of the shower was red.
Oh wow!
Yeah. You live off that's the issue with groundwater. Oh, wow.
No, I mean it was. I don't. I mean, my dad would have to explain it. I don't really understand. But I mean, it was like it was
because
bad.
Of a curse, probably.
It was probably because of a witch's curse. Yeah.
No, it will turn your well to blood.
Right, but it was funny because it was like it affected our house at one point.
Amar looks very scared right now.
It's just very.
Well, you mentioned murder twice. In
right.
A
yeah. Rusty water must have been the well, you know, out in the boondocks. But no, it was like it had affected our house and then the neighbors. And so then the neighbors are showering at our house because nobody wants to shower in rusty water. It's like.
Mm. Oh, we used to
and
have
I
that's
say
what
I want to move
CLR
back to
the
country.
Yeah. Good chunk of the Central Valley, all the water came from the ground. And that's what you had. So you had to filter it out. Or
we were looking at houses. This weekend, and one house had a 1950s era fallout shelter.
Ooh,
really?
Yeah,
like under the
in the front yard was a big coffin looking tank. And then you opened it up, went down a bunch of stairs, and you were down in this little cell basically. And they were using it as a wine cellar.
That's what they say.
I put pictures of it up on Instagram.
Did you? Oh, yeah. I haven't seen them.
And it totally looks like Fallout, the game. Like, it absolutely looks like it.
I hope it was just wine down there in the Fallout shelter.
Yeah, yeah. The other, I went down there. All I saw was wine, but who knows? The other one was a house that had a well in the front yard, except it wasn't a well. It was just, you know, the well apparatus.
Was it like an above ground swimming pool?
No, it was just like the good old fashioned brick well that you would have to lower your bucket down. Yeah. But there was no actual well under it. It was just for decoration. I was like, what? Why would you do that?
I've never heard of a decorative well.
I've never heard of that either. Yeah.
It's like how far did it go down?
It didn't.
Yeah. So wait, it was just sitting on top of the lawn?
Just sitting on the grass, like, yeah.
Was there water in it?
No.
That's
Did they have decorative trees as well? Where, you know,
Did they say it was a decorative well, or were they like, oh, it's for geese to like, you know, like, was there some weird
they
reason?
Just, yeah, they just said, oh, it's the decor. Yeah. They didn't really, the people weren't there. The agent didn't really want to talk about it.
The agent's probably like, I don't know.
Like, just kind of, and look at
it's
this
decorative
marble,
and
look
charming.
At this marble counter instead.
Yeah. You can take out the well. Don't worry about it.
That can be removed.
Oh, it's funny.
Well, my recording mysteriously just stopped.
Oh, well, mine's still going, but maybe that's a sign that we should wrap it up. So.
Yeah, I have more laundry to do. And
all right.
Eating to do. I haven't eaten in a while.
Thanks, patrons, for hanging out with us, talking about wells. And
well, we'll see you later.
Thanks, patrons.
Have a good day.
Bye.
Good day, internet.
Bye-bye.
Lamar, I had a question to ask you before you.
Yeah, of course.